I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive. It's Wednesday, July 8th. For all of the talk of a pending transformation among the dealer body, the truth was, not much was really happening in the retail space when it came to digitization or producing a better result for the customer. The fact is, retailers who talked about changing their people, process, or the products that they delivered were somewhat slow to adopt the opportunity. While most spent time listening to the Amazon-like changes that were coming, it was mostly business as usual, as many have admitted to us at Automotive News. And then came March 2020. Looking back, the switch to online retailing, touchless service, better pricing, and a more robust offering of digital tools has been breathtaking in its speed of transformation. And everyone seems to agree, life will never be the same. One person watching with great interest is Ron Fry, a self-described investor, advisor, and automotive strategist. The former chief global strategy officer of CDK Global and AutoNation, Ron assists companies of all sizes in bringing innovative solutions combined with pragmatic approaches to deliver results. He's single-handedly watching the retail world change overnight. It's a far cry from the conversation I had with him at our retail forum in late February. The difference now? Dealers are not only listening, they're acting differently. We've reached Ron Fry at his home in Portland, Oregon. Well, Ron, last time we saw each other, it was a long time ago in a very different galaxy, wasn't it?
Absolutely. A lot's changed since we last talked, that's for sure.
NADA Retail Forum does seem like a long time ago, but so does maybe the transformation of the retail network, or even the old model seems like it was a long time ago. Tell me from your perspective, what's changed most significantly since you and I sat together in late February as it pertains to the retail network?
Yeah, so Jason, I would say there's a different focus. So when we were on stage talking a bit of digital transformation around this kind of modern, you know, retail, I think there's a lot of our dealer brethren that, you know, are thinking this is interesting and thinking about how they're going to approach it. And then COVID came along and, you know, as you know, dealerships were forced to shut down and our priorities changed. Like our priorities went from, you know, how should we think about going about digital retail to it became survival. And the priorities changed as much. It was, look, like I figure this out or I go out of business and I'm going to serve the customers how they need to be served. And the team's got to get behind me and help support it or get off the bus. And then we learned something through this. We learned that, that when we have the right conviction and if we put the right change management behind it now because we have to, not because we think it's, you know, vogue, things kind of work out. So we find that, man, we can actually deliver a vehicle offsite and we can manage F&I in a virtual environment and we can take a trade-in with, you know, sight unseen and our salespeople can be more productive and we can make money doing this. And so what's changed, I think, was we were forced into something we didn't expect, and we found that we can actually do it. And then here's, Jason, the big one. It wasn't predicated on technology. It was predicated on mindset. And then we figured out how to make the technology work for us around a process that we instituted, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so it became survival. It became necessary. And the mindset changed because the willingness changed.
That's right. That's right. And technology was no longer the magic bullet. It's not the magic tech that's going to make it work. It was my mindset and my conviction that all of a sudden made it work. And it works. And there's no going back. That's, I think, I don't mean that we're going to do 100% of transactions, you know, offsite, but the acceleration, the rate of acceleration changed, the rate of conviction changed. And then the conversations that I'm now having with retailers is materially different, Jason. The questions are different. The approach is different. It's no longer, you know, it's no longer looking for kind of the simple fix. It's really getting deep thought into what should I do? How far should I go? How do I approach it? How do I automate these in systems in ways that speed up process, take cost out, drive more productivity? Not because I think I should, but because I think now I have to. There's no going back.
So what were those conversations like a year ago?
I think a year ago, the conversations are very much around, the conversations are really around, hey, Ron, tell me what platform is the best one out there? Like what, who do I plug into that will magically make digital retail come to life? And the conversation today is changing now more around recognizing that digital transformation into what we're calling modern retail is more about an experience than it is, Jason, about a product. And the experience is, how do I manage my business in a world that is omni-channel? And I'll say it slightly different, is that we in auto retail are coming to the realization that the showroom has evolved. So it's like the book, Who Moved My Cheese? It's like, who moved my showroom? The showroom's evolved, and the showroom became virtual.
It's expanded.
It's expanded, exactly. And so we have to really rethink the showroom. And when we rethink the showroom, then it forces us to rethink everything. So we think rethink our processes and people and motivation and comp plans and then what systems really support that. And then I'll get really provocative with you, Jason. So this ought to make your listeners really uncomfortable. I'll make the claim that our dealership is on the way to becoming a warehouse distribution and service center.
Ooh.
And this has been our worst fear for years. And I'm saying, like, I'm not suggesting we're all the way there, but we are fastly becoming on the way of doing that. And then I'm going to also argue that's not a bad thing. And it doesn't mean that customers aren't going to be coming to our showrooms and enjoy the store experience. I believe they will. And I believe we need to, unlike banking, create all the services that people are going to continue to enjoy coming to our showrooms. And they're going to do things online, and they may do things in a hybrid. But if we can get our mindset wrapped around, Jason, that the showroom is evolving and that we're on our way to becoming more distribution and service centers, it will then give us the freedom to entirely rethink how we manage our processes in that environment. So, for example, would we have a license to then be more like a Carvana or more like a Vroom? Because I'll tell you, Carvana doesn't think of the showroom the same way that we do. And I'll pause there for a second, but I want to share what that evolution also might look like to give you some more meat wrapped around that.
Please, yeah.
So here's what I mean when we have to really rethink that the showrooms move. So when a guest comes to our showroom today, it's a very fluid process. We're greeting the customers. We're building relationships. We want to understand how to best meet their needs. And the deal becomes fluid. They might go look at cars off on their own. They might have a greeter. They may want to talk about a trade-in, in which we might introduce them to used car manager and go do an appraisal on a vehicle. And they may come back to the associate and might want to run some credit and, you know, be introduced to, you know, the F&I department. And so what happens is my deal is fluid and who I'm talking to is fluid within the store. It just kind of moves and it takes on its own life until it all comes together. And when we move it to a virtual environment, then we think all that goes away. That when somebody now wants to visit our showroom in a virtual environment, that somehow it becomes sterile and linear. Like, we're going to just check boxes and, you know, they're going to go through the step process and they don't necessarily need involvement of humans. Like, it's all going to be automated. And I'm going to argue that we need to treat our virtual showroom the same way we would internally, that maybe they might want to start off on the web and maybe it needs to move from web to video. That associate in the store might be able to do a walk around on a vehicle seamlessly, or maybe they need to have somebody that chats and if I rethink my showroom, maybe the chat starts with a bot and moves to somebody that can advise me, and that can be transferred to somebody in the store that can handle more of the expertise work. And so it becomes fluid around people. It becomes fluid around the communication channels, whether it's web or video or text or email or phone or, frankly, the showroom. And then it becomes fluid around what they want to do around the road to the sale, whether it's looking at vehicles or valuing a trade-in or getting credit or understanding payments, et cetera. So if we rethink the process the same way we would manage it in a store and think about what experience do I want to deliver and then what type of technology could help enable that, I think it'll help us evolve this experience that we want to deliver for our customers in our market with our brand, for each of these individual dealers, which all could be different. I said a mouthful there, but hopefully that's making some sense.
It makes total sense. So let me ask you, is the mindset the only barrier to making that additional transformation possible?
No, but here's the difference, Jason. It's not just technology, and that's where I think we've been stuck, right? So we've been stuck that we're looking for the magic tech solution, and it's more than that. So it is the combination of me deciding what is the experience for my brand and my store and my market that I want to deliver, a conviction that I'm going to do this, and then thinking about how that impacts my people and processes, and then wrap the technology around it. And part of the conviction, Jason, and I think this is where we get also hung up, is we seem to think that we have to go boil the ocean and create this digital end-to-end experience overnight. And I don't believe we have to do that. I really believe that we can pick pieces of it where we feel that are important to our business, that solves meaningful pain points, and then it could help move my business forward. And I think that our dealer brother would be much better off picking those pain points, having conviction around solving that issue and doing it really well. And then you can move to the next point as you think about the journey for the road to the sale. So for some examples, and some of these are like basic block and tackling things that aren't very sexy, but if you want to have an omni-channel experience, you have to deal with some of this. So do I have proper description of my inventory? How are my price stacks lined up? Do I have accurate pricing? Because in an omni-channel world, I can't be presenting pricing that's different online that is in store, that isn't an actual transaction price. Like, nobody would be okay with, going to Amazon and getting a price on a, on a package and then getting a call later and saying, no, that isn't really the price. So there's these pieces of this, of the road to the sell that you can start getting right. Are you competing in a market where I'm putting cash offers on vehicles for trade-ins to be able to have a vehicle acquisition machine and handle the trade-ins up front? That's a big piece of this. And am I experiencing how I could begin working in a virtual F&I, environment, some of the work that JM&A is doing? So I believe you can go tackle pain points that fit your store and your culture and get them right. You can put conviction around that, not conviction around changing the entire experience overnight.
So we've started the process over the course of the last 3 or 4 months, accelerated it in some cases, in most cases. How long does it take to get to what you've just described? Has this acceleration also kickstarted the move to the next stage?
I think so. I think what we're seeing is kind of my earlier point. You don't have to go solve everything, and that our dealers are so scrappy and are such great entrepreneurs, Jason, that once you decide you're going to do something, like we can go figure it out. It doesn't have to be like we can put some squirrels behind the scenes that can make things work. It all doesn't have to be systematic and automated. And I believe our dealers are starting to get scrappy and figure different pieces of this out. So, we have really progressive dealers that are, doing everything from soup to nuts to different pieces of the transaction. And I think many of them are doing it based on what fits their culture and their market and their brand as well. So I don't think everybody has to be doing it the same way either.
And when you look forward, considering the amount of investments that have been made in facilities, how does it change the structure of that dealership, which I know now is no longer a retail destination, right?
Right, right. Well, look, you're probably a bit over my pay grade on that one. So I'm not going to, I think there's so many variables, I'm not going to predict it. But here's what I would say. I really believe people enjoy going to the store and having the experience and picking up the vehicle. And when I talk about distribution service centers, having a store that gives an amazing experience around servicing my vehicle and an amazing experience where I want to do the final look or delivery of my car, if I could, you know, rethink how these showrooms, you know, I still want a beautiful showroom that can support those activities. But I don't need the showroom to be a destination business that everybody has to go there to manage the entire transaction. And does that mean they could have a smaller footprint? And, you know, I think if you look around the world, Jason, if you go outside of North America, the answer is yes. Like, we see other parts of the world where that's already the case. Like this, like these use cases have been proven, you know, just not here in North America yet. So that could be a possibility one day.
I've got to imagine, Ron, that given your history in the business and how you tried to perhaps encourage dealers to go digital through the years, you could not have envisioned the conversation that we're having right now going back a little while ago.
No. Well, how about going back when, you know, a few months ago when we were on stage having a similar conversation? Like, the world really has changed. Like, this really is another new meaningful inflection point. And the difference, Jason, today is, like, if we really think like time's up, it's now. We have to do this now. It is time that we, not only retail, we have to rethink it in ways that really does take cost out, delight customers, speed up processes. But you have to, this is why I think you have to take it incrementally and have the conviction to do it right, Jason. You can't go experiment and layer a bunch of costs on your business experimenting today. So pick the places that you think you can win, have the conviction behind to do it, get the processes in right, make sure you have the right people, right motivation, right comp plans, and then just go do it and no looking back.
Yeah, there's the roadmap right there. Ron, thank you so much. It's good to talk to you again. Let's not go another 4 months without having a conversation for our audience.
That'd be great. Thanks for inviting me, Jason. And thanks for what you're doing for everybody with these podcasts. These are fantastic, just wonderful information. So thanks for letting me be part of it.
Oh, you've just made another one great. Thank you, Ron.
Be well.
We reached Ron Fry at his home in Portland, Oregon. And that's Daily Drive for Wednesday, July 8th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of more than 80 stories, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. We'll be back Thursday.